so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Go with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, quarter till 8. Ephesians chapter 3, I'm reading from the New King James Version this evening. I'm continuing on with a series that I began a few weeks ago called What is Your Produce? What is your produce? And we talked about in the last, the first when we began, well, let me get on to it. Let me read the scripture and then we'll get into it. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 14, if you're there, say amen. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened in the might through his Spirit in the inner man. Now, you understand, that's where you're strengthened, in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Would you just lay hands on yourself and say, fill me with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now man, for me, that's big. Especially that think part, because y'all know me. My imagination is wild. I remember my youngest daughter was playing. Matter of fact, the two girls that was here a couple of weeks ago, they're from out of town. They came in, and my youngest daughter, they were all playing at my house. And my youngest daughter, they were all about 8 years old and 7, 8 years old. My youngest daughter came into the living room and sat down with her toy and went, I said, what's the matter, baby? She said, they just can't keep up with my imagination. And man, that's the way I feel, man. So sometimes people can't just keep up with my imagination. And so when he says that I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Hallelujah. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Father, bless the reading of your word. Your word is anointed, but Lord, may you grant me that which makes preaching easy and effective, and that is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that we don't just hear the word, but that we encounter and engage you in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Now, here's the deal, man. It is not simply enough to hear the word. You must be a doer of the word. That is the difference of people who read the word, but there's no change. And people who are doers of the word and are activate the word in their life, and their life is changed. Again, you cannot just read books about health and become healthy. It don't work. And just because you read the Bible, if you don't apply the scriptures to your life, then you're not going to have the life that God said you could have. Remember our text this past Sunday where he said that he has pre-prepared a good life for you? So we've got to apply it. So the best action you can take is to love others. Now, every time I talk about loving others, I have to kind of take a step back because I'm a real dude. All right, I'm a real dude. I used to hear preachers and pastors talking about, and they would, I don't know why they was there, but when they would talk about the love of God, they would get like a little sissy on them. And the love of God. And the love of God. No, man, I don't want to talk about that. The love of God. You know, like I got to be a sissy to be a lover of God. But that's not the truth. I'm talking about a real dude. You know, like, listen, I don't want to hold hands with a bunch of guys for 15 minutes praying. Are you homophobic? Not at all. I just don't want nobody's rough hand all up in my hand. I like my wife's hand. However, that when I was in Alaska, I splurged. We did a lot of things, but the one big splurge is they picked me up in a helicopter, took me to a glacier. I got off on the glacier, and I was at a dog mushing camp with 280 dogs. And then there was a musher that was assigned to me, and me and her got on the sled, and I was able to mush some dogs a mile around. And when I shook her hand, I said, "How you doing, sir?" I mean, it was the roughest hand I ever shook in my hand in my life. So, but when I talk about the love of God, I'm not talking about this mamby-pamby, wimpy, sissy love. I'm talking about the love. Y'all all right? Man, this sex, I'm going to have to separate y'all four. You know you're in the wrong zone, don't you, baby? I'm going to have to separate them four. But when I talk about the love of God, I'm talking about the love of God that'll fight you out of a bad attitude. I'm talking about the love of God that loves you enough to get in your face. I'm talking about the love of God that loves you enough to not let you get away with what you thought you could get away with. I'm talking about true love. I'm talking about a father's love. I'm talking about a daddy's love. I'm talking about a love that will get in your, that baby, you know, that will walk up into the room or walk up into the car when your daughter's in there going, hey, what's going on up in that? You're going to get up out of there. Now, I've never had to do that, to God be the glory. But that's the kind of love that I'm talking about. Not this just hippie love. Can't we all get along? No, we can't. We can't, because there's a devil loose. And unless you're on my side, which is Jesus' side, we can communicate, but we can't just get along. All right, let me move on. God's word tells us that we should have life in abundance to the full until it overflows, John 10:10. Now, love will always line up with God's word and usher you into a place of overflow. The love of God. See, I can love you and still not agree with you. Well, I don't understand. Matter of fact, let me go one step further. I can love you and not like you. No, you can't. Yeah, because you're a jerk. Not anybody here. People at home. But I can say you're a jerk, but I still love you. How can you do that? Because I love you enough not to want you to go to hell. I don't want my worst enemy to go to hell. Maybe feel the flames, but not go there. See, again, y'all can't handle this. I'm just being real, right? But the love of God, or this love I'm talking about, it puts you in a place of overflow. That's where we want to walk in. That's where we want to live in. And in order to reach the destination of overflow, you cannot tolerate anything less than abundance in the areas of health, wisdom, happiness, money, joy in your life and in your home. Now listen, here is the problem in America. You hear me? They're spending trillions of dollars trying to figure out what's wrong with America. I can tell you, the lack of Jesus. Period, man. The lack of Jesus. All right, but hang on. Because here we are at the Crystal River Church of God, and everybody in here goes, yeah, woohoo, that's right, Pastor. Go ahead. That's what they need is Jesus, right? Okay, amen. But the problem in the homes of churches is not the fact that Jesus is not there, but that the love of Jesus is not there, because the love of Jesus loves you enough to discipline you. I lost about half of you right there, didn't I? God is well equipped to do what he has promised, but here's the part we don't like. You've got to do your part. Well, I'm at church. What else do I need to do? I believe in church, but you can go to hell sitting on the seat of a church. Church is great. I believe if God is your father, the church ought to be your mother. But church doesn't change you. The programs of church helps you, but it doesn't change you. If you want genuine change, then you've got to allow the blood of Jesus, the love of Jesus, to overshadow you and come so deep inside of you that it heals every hurt, that it heals every wrong that you've been wronged in your life, and your life is changed because of the love of God. So it's important to read God's word. Well, I don't know what it says. Well, you'll never know unless you read it. Well, but sometimes I don't understand it. And again, let me help somebody. There are times I read it, and when I get done, I don't know what I just read. Does that help anybody? Yeah. You know, people think, oh, I wish I could just write sermons like... I don't write a sermon every day. There are days that I get through reading and I go, I got nothing. Pastor, you ought not tell us that. You ought not listen to that. Well, Pastor, how do you get a sermon? I have to pray and seek God. Sometimes it just comes to me. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. I hear you. Let me get to my computer so I can type it out. And then other times I'm begging God, oh, Jesus, God, please, God, give me something. It's 6:58. Just being real. But the important thing is to read God's word. Now, here's the deal, and you're going to get tired of hearing me say this over the next few weeks. I've already said it two times I know of. It's important to read God's word. Why? Because, and I don't have this, the word, it's on the other notes from a couple of weeks ago. The word will determine your thinking. You want to change the way you think. Well, I like the way I think. Well, does God like the way you think? The word will change or determine your thinking. Then here's where we were last week. Your thinking will determine your emotions. Your emotions will determine your decisions. Your decisions will determine your actions, and your actions will determine your character. Because your character is not what people think you are, but your character is what you do. What you do when nobody else is looking. Character ultimately leads you toward your destination. Conversely, the wrong thinking will produce wrong emotions, which will produce wrong decisions, which will produce wrong actions, which will produce wrong habits, wrong character, that eventually will lead you to a wrong destination. How many of us, don't answer this, but how many of us look around and go, how did I get here? Wrong decisions. Thinking wrong, behaving wrong, wrong decisions, having your emotions make the decisions for you, and you wind up there, and you don't know how you got there, but I'll tell you, you got on a path. Remember back in January when I preached that series, you got on a path, and the path led you to a destination. Well, I didn't mean to be on that path. Well, but you decided to be on that path. Nobody in their right mind wakes up one day, and they're like, you know, today I'm going to be an alcoholic. Nobody wakes up one day and goes, you know what, I hadn't tried messing around on my spouse. Let me try that. Nobody wakes up one day. You begin to make decisions based on emotions that gives you a direction, and eventually you're on a path that leads you to destruction. We can't be that way if we want to do and be what God's called us to be. So point number one is this. One of the greatest tragedies among believers is hearing the word and not putting a plan in place to act on what you have heard. What are you going to do with the word you hear? And let's be real, okay? Most of us can't remember the word that was preached Sunday morning. Now, aren't you? Well, if he was better, I could listen. I could remember. Well, pray for me. I'm doing my best I can. But here's the thing. Sometimes I don't remember what I preach Sunday. And I'm the one that spent hours putting it together. because I'm on to the next one. All right. But here's the thing. But I do know this, that if you can get a nugget, if you can get one concept and you grab that concept and you begin to internalize that concept. Well, y'all see my guns? You begin to internalize, squirrel, you begin to internalize that concept. Then it begins to grab a hold of you, and then you begin to live your life based on that one concept, or you begin to change something based on that concept. You begin to think, hey, I got that word, and the word said this, and I need to change this area of my life. Hey, I need to internalize this area. That part when he said this really hit me. Quit looking around. Tell you what. Boy, that one right there, that ought to hit Rodney, because I know some stuff on Rodney. Ooh, that concept, George. I hope she was listening. Bless God, because that would change. Now, begin to look at yourself. What can I use from this sermon? God, Not what is the preacher saying to me, because I'm talking to the crowd, but Holy Ghost, what are you saying to me? Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? What are you trying to tell me in this service today so that I can receive and internalize and change the way that I live? Change the way that I think. Change the way that I think. See, increase doesn't just come because you heard the word. You must also be a doer of the word. Again, it doesn't matter, man. You can hear it all day long. You know, and I do believe that hearing it long enough will get you somewhere. You know, I was telling somebody today that I remember the first time that I went for jury, well, the only time I went for jury duty. I went twice. One time they didn't select me. But one time they selected me, and here's the question they asked me. This one guy, you know, this one lawyer trying to be slick or whatever, he says, sir, what do you do? I said, I'm pastor of the local church here in Citrus County. Well, do you think that you could judge this case? I said, I believe I could. He said, well, what are you going to do with the scripture that says, judge not? Oh, well, I've never heard of that scripture. I said, well, why don't you finish it? Judge not, lest you be judged. Because with the same judgment you judge, you will be judged. I said, so if I judge fairly, I'm cool to be judged by people who are fair. This jury's acceptable to us, Your Honor. And so I would know. But you understand what I'm saying? See, you've got to know the word, but then you got to do the word. In all you do, if all you do is listen, but never anything about what you hear, then you're wasting your time. James 1:22 says, but don't just listen to God's word, but be ye doers, otherwise you're fooling yourselves. Actions are very important to God. Actions. I said this Sunday, we are judged not on promises. We're not judged on intentions. We're judged on performance. Well, God knows my heart. I love that one. Well, I wanted to be there. God knows my heart. Yeah, he sure did. He sure does. Well, God knows my heart. You're right. You know, it goes back to when my oldest daughter, when she was in Bonnie Dexter's Sunday school class, my oldest daughter said these words to Bonnie. They said, what kind of a man do you want to marry? And everybody was going, well, I want to marry a rich man. My oldest daughter said, I want to marry a man just like my dad. And man, that, you know, that was cool. Yeah. They come and told me, and I was like, oh, man, that is so, oh my God! You know, it was cool. It was fun. But when I really thought about it, oh, my God. She wants to marry somebody like me. Oh, God, please deliver her. Because I realized, you know, because then I'm like, I know me. It changes it, right? It changes it just from a concept now to, oh, my Lord, my children want to marry somebody like me. I better make sure I do it right. Actions are very important to God. It's not enough that your intentions are right. Hey, take out the trash. Well, I intended to. I know the trash company has already come and gone. But you know, my heart was in the right place. Now we laugh, but how many, don't raise your hand, but how many of us do that with God? God, I wanted to pray. God, you know, I didn't want to sin, but you know my heart. Yeah, because out of your heart flows the issues of life. Anybody get anything? Yeah. To honor God means that His word carries weight in your life. Now think about that. To honor God means that the word of God carries weight in your life. It means that it is heavy on you. That you don't just do things haphazardly. You don't do things without the Word of God. See, when you read the Word of God and you know the Word of God, when you begin to do something that is outside of the parameters of God's will or what is considered a right in God's eyes, the Word of God speaks. That's why the devil, you know, you ever got so mad that you had to go apologize? I hate that. Well, why don't you have to apologize? Because I got out of alignment. Well, you don't have to apologize. Yeah, I do. That's why, you know, look, well, I just lost my temper. Nobody wants it. And when you lose it, everybody loses. I believe I'm going to listen to this sermon when I get done. The actions in your life must line up with the Word of God. Amen. And if it doesn't, then there's something going on with your thinking. Amen. You got to change it. God is looking for love to be demonstrated in the life of the believer. Love will always calls you to go against your normal fleshly actions. You know, I forgot where my wife and I had went. We had went somewhere. I remember. It was to James's wedding. James and Ariana's wedding. And we were coming back when we went over there, I saw this car broke down close to Wildwood. No big deal. You know, I mean, you see cars broke down everywhere. I went on. And on the way back, though, when I came back by, the back of the car or the little SUV was open. And there was a woman sitting there with a child. And I went by, and I went, I'm in my suit. I hit the brake, and my wife started laughing. I was like, what is wrong with you? She said, I knew you couldn't pass her by. So I turned around. As soon as I turned around, another truck turned around. I go, oh, good, maybe they're going to go help her. Yeah, that's good. But I'm going to stop and make sure. And so I stopped, and the other guy come up. He rolled his window down. He goes, all right, you got him. I'm good then, all right? Bro, you in some camouflage. I'm in a suit, bro. Can't you come over here and do something? I mean, now, my flesh, man, I'm tired. I just want to go home. But the love of God, what the God's taught me, all right? Well, that's just part of being a Southern gentleman. Well, it might have been, but I'm telling you it's the Word of God to help those when you can, all right? Love will cause you to do things against your normal fleshly actions. Point number two is this. Your actions serve as seeds. Not your thoughts. Your thoughts are seeds, but your actions serve as seeds. My thoughts are seeds, but they don't give me a physical return on my thoughts. But my actions serve as seeds. Romans 12, 18 through 21. Says, if it possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. See, that goes against my flesh. Because my flesh want to beat some men up. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, or give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if any enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not overcome Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I love what the one woman said when she was having trouble with her husband, and the pastor asked her, well, have you tried heaping coals of fire on his head? She goes, no, but I did try a pot of hot grits. See, you should be conscious of the actions that you're taking toward others. You know, a lot of the things, let me say this, a lot of the things that we do are a lack of self-awareness. We do things without even thinking. How many of you know that sometimes you're mean, you didn't even know you was mean until somebody told you you were mean? Usually it's your spouse who tells you that. Hey, you're being mean. Hey, you're being a jerk. Hey, you, quit. That's not godly. Whatever, you know? But if you sow a bad seed, you're inviting that same action to be brought back to you. You ever notice that the people who are usually most offended are the most offensive people? I'm going to say that again. The people who are offended the easiest and the most usually are the most offensive. They will tell you off. They will tell you, well, that's just my personality. I just say what I think. But then you say it to them, I can't believe you hurt my feelings. Friend of mine, very, very, very large man. He is very large. He was Big Mo, many, some of you know. Big Mo, woman walked up to Big Mo one time and said, you're fat! Because he is, he's huge. I mean, he shops at the large, extra large, and oh my God, it's coming this way. I mean, he's pretty big. He's pretty big. He's one of my good friends. If you watch him, you know you're big. That's why you have the name, Big Mo. All right? But he's big. But, you know, somebody who don't even know him walk up to him and say, oh, you're fat. But man, I love his comeback. He goes, and you're ugly. And the good thing is I can lose weight, but you stuck with that forever. And then turned around and was offended. And then Shem walked away. You know, let me move on. Sorry, I cracked myself up. No idea where I'm at right now. Oh, if you sow a bad seed, you're inviting that same action to be brought back to you. Plant the action that you want done to you. Luke 6:31 says, and just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. I can't find a friend because you're mean. Are you friendly? Well, I think I am. Well, buy a book. I mean, I'm serious. You know, some people don't know how to be friends. Buy a book. You know, they used to teach you how to be a friendly. They don't teach that anymore. You know? You buy a book, learn something. If you slap somebody, you sowing a seed that is coming back on you. I like the one guy. He walked up to me. He goes, hey, man, are you sanctified? He goes, well, I believe I am. For no reason. The guy just slapped him upside his head. The guy who said, I think I am, beat the tar out of him. Beat him down. And as he was walking away, the guy on the floor, he said, I thought you said you were sanctified. He goes, I thought I was. But that's the truth, right? Because you don't know you got it until it's tested. So if you slap somebody, don't be upset when they slap you back. Likewise, if you bless someone, you're sowing an action that you want to come back. I'm thinking of an incident. Y'all have no idea what goes on up in here. Pray for me and my wife. But this guy goes, hey, man, that was, that. You know, they had preached a tag team sermon, and he goes, man, you did an amazing job. And the guy goes, oh, thanks, man, I appreciate that. And the guy says, hey, well, you didn't say how I did. The guy goes, well, my mama said if you didn't have anything nice to say, don't say nothing. Now, listen. See, now that's the wrong additive. That's the wrong motive. That if you're getting to get, if you're baiting, that's not of God. If you're baiting just so they will say something back to you to feel, to make you feel good, that is not the kind of action that I'm talking about. A heartfelt. Listen, one of my very best friends, he died a few years ago now, probably from being my friend, but he's one of my best friends, Herman Knapp. And when we met, he hated me because I picked on, I was just being funny. I didn't know it offended him because he had a huge head. I mean, but you know, you're like, Pastor, you got a huge, I got some circumference. That's why I don't understand why he was so upset with him. Because he had, but he had a little body, but a big old head. And he loved playing golf. And I asked him what he'd do with his head when he went to, he probably went over that way. But he hated me, but we were friends. We became very best friends. And then he preached a sermon, and I went up to him. I go, hey, man. I said, dude, that was incredible. And it was incredible. I said, hey, man, just want you to know, you were incredible. And I shook his hand, man, that was an incredible message. He goes, yeah, all right. And I went home. I told Sherry, I didn't go home. I went back to the room. I go, Sherry, I told Herman he did a great job. I don't think he believed me. She said, Ronnie, you talked about his head so long, he probably don't know what to think. I mean, literally, I talked about his head like all day, and then finally he goes, well, you got a big head too. I go, I know it. I don't know what the problem is. Anyway, we became best friends. But I was trying to give him a compliment. But not to get one back. I just wanted him to know he did a great job. Listen, compliments are great. I'm not talking about lying. All right? I mean, it's just real truth, right? I'm talking about real compliments. You know? I mean, but man, listen, men. Don't be giving out no compliments to no woman unless you compliment your own woman first. Mm-hmm. Point number three is this. Love in your life doesn't make you weak. It is the power of God. I've told this story many times. And people have tried to use it against me. But when I got saved, I didn't like people. When I got saved, I thought everybody, wasn't nobody saved but my mom and daddy. And when I got saved, I said, Lord, you know, I'm all right with you, but I got problems when it comes to other people because I don't like people. And I could go into the psychological part of it, you know, and give you some of those terms, but I won't. I just didn't like people because I was raised in church and my dad put the church above me and that's why I am the way I am today and that's why I'm all messed up but I'm in therapy and I'm doing better. No, man, come on, get over it. Jeez. But I'm just saying, I didn't like people. And then so when God called me to pastor, you know, when the Lord called me to preach. Yes, Lord. Yes, thank you. I will preach the word of God. Yes, Lord, I know. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I know that I'm going to be an evangelist because I can blow in, blow up, and blow out. Yes, Lord Jesus. I ain't got to stay there and deal with people. I can come in and tell people off and leave. Hallelujah. And everybody who was around me were like, yeah, man, you're an evangelist. Your personality, the way God uses you, you're an evangelist. One guy, Jimmy Miller, kept saying, man, I see a pastor's anointing on you. I said, you're an idiot. I was the idiot. And because here's what I said. I said, well, if there's a pastoral anointing on me, then God's got to help me to like people because I don't like people. And the people I dislike the most are church people. And the cool thing is, man, God started doing it. And then I started loving people. And the problem is today is that I love people. And the problem today that I have with most people is that I love people. And I don't want anybody to go to hell. And it aggravates me and it pains me when people who should know better don't do better. Why? Because I love people. There ain't nothing more in my life that I want than to see you succeed. And you succeed. And you succeed. And you succeed. And you succeed. Nothing more I want in my life than you to know the love of God, to experience the love of God, to experience the power of God, to experience the worship of God, to experience the Holy Ghost in your life, and to have a great family, a great job, a great life. Because that's what I know the Word of God says. The thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And so I love people. And it literally pains me when I see people not doing what they could be or what they should be or what God has put in them. And then if I'm not careful, the pain turns to anger. So I got to keep that in check. Every believer is possessed by God's love. Romans 5:5 says, no, now hope does not appoint or disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in the hearts of by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I'm done. Like a car needs a battery in order to run, love is the battery behind everything you are trying to accomplish in your life. Why are you trying to accomplish it? Why do I want to be happy? Because can I tell you? I want to have the peace of God so that I can have the peace of God in my home. I want to have the peace of God in my home so that my children may have the peace of God in their life. Can I tell you what's wrong? If you want to trace it back, what's wrong with society is the same thing that's wrong in the home. The lack of the love of God. I'm not talking about hippie love, the love of God. What's wrong is they see mom and dad living a life that is contrary to the word of God in which they preach or speak or teach. And there's nothing more detrimental to your spiritual children or to your children or your family's spiritual health than for you to say one thing with your voice, say one thing with your preaching, but do something different with your life. When you need to get results in life, instead of saying something negative, say something positive and activate the power of God that's working in your life. And begin to understand that everything is connected, man. That your thinking determines your emotion. Your emotions determine your decisions. And your decisions determine your actions. God wants a church that is full of action. What good is the gospel if we're not willing to go across the fence and tell somebody about it? Hey man, we had a team that go to Cambodia. We got a team that goes to Honduras. We got people, me and Steve Miller are going to Uruguay in September, late August, early September. We got people who go all the way, all around the world, all different types of places. And yes, and we support that. We have missionaries that we support, and that's great. And we go across the ocean to tell people about Jesus. But what about across the fence? And what they don't need is this: hey, you're going to hell, you blankety blank blank blank. It's the last thing they need, man. What they need. I had a great compliment yesterday. Somebody sent me on private message. He said, Pastor, you're the king of the rejects. The one-eyed guy is king among the blind. Yeah, thank you. He said, all the rejects love you. I go, takes one to know one. I don't know. But that's where we need to be, man. Is put our theology into action. And I'm not talking about being Bible thumpers. Listen, if you want to come and go knock on doors and witness, I'm not your guy. Don't come to my house, man. Matter of fact, don't come to my house and witness. I'll close the door. Shut up. Why? That don't work anymore. Listen, how many in here wants me just to drop by your house? And I'm your pastor. Yeah, look, I got one. Yeah. Now, I'm going to drop by your house and cast the devil out of you. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I need to do at your house. That's right. You know what I'm talking about. But you know what I'm saying? Don't too many people want people just to drop by anymore. Do you know that the biggest detriment to community, you know what the invention was? The air conditioner. Because everybody used to sit outside drinking sweet tea. Hey, how y'all doing? Y'all want to come over and play some checkers? Well, we only got half the checkers. I got about half. How about y'all? Y'all got any? Y'all bring it on. We'll make one good set. And sit around, talk, and share, and know your neighbors. How many of you know your neighbors? I know one right across the street, right beside me, right over there, and right there, and that's all I know. Well, all right, I know that one over there and that one down there. I know a little bit more because I'm a little out there. Everybody knows me as the preacher. They have no idea what church I pastor, but they know me as the preacher. But you understand what I'm saying? Now we stay inside. You know, we in air condition. We got a pool. I got a screen around it. Can I borrow your pool? No. Stay out. I mean, you know, that's the way we live. We stay inside because it's cool. We watch TV. And then we communicate through Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, where there's no record. Because Snapchat, oh my God. See, I could get all into this. Snapchat, you don't get feedback. And we don't even want feedback anymore. We used to want feedback. Oh, would you like my picture? Oh, look, I got 37 likes. What about Instagram? Oh, I got 30. Snapchat, I don't even care. Just look at it. If you don't, shut up. That's where Snapchat is. You can't even like Snapchat. Just psh, 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 psh. I don't want to see it anymore. You're going to see it, by God. We don't want feedback. So, well then, Pastor, how do we put our faith in action? By every chance you get. If you're cognizant of it, then it's easy to put it into action. Almost everything I do is trying to bring glory to God. Should be everything you try, everything you do, try to bring glory to God. So what you hear at church, what you hear when you're reading your Bible, because I'm going to assume, and I know what that means, assume that you're reading your Bible. And if you will take it and internalize it and bring it into action, I promise you it'll change your life. Come on, stand to your feet in this place. Whew. Would you just bow your heads with me tonight? I give you my word, I won't embarrass you, but if you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity just to invite him into your life. You can put your hand up, you can put it right back down. If you don't know Jesus, but you want to, come on, just slip up your hand, you can put it right back down.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.